Stein, or is Jeff Stein there right now?
That's the rumor.
Hey, how you doing, my amigo?
Well, I'm just trying to sort all of this out, just like you are. It's a little frightening, isn't it?
Let's start there. Can I ask that question? Okay, so he asks about whether or not the Ukrainians could help investigate who stole the emails from 2016. We all know the Russians did it. Does Trump really honestly believe that, you know, even though that every intelligence agency, the military has told him this, foreign intelligence agencies have told him this, does he really honestly say the Russians, has taken the Russians' word on this? And it's like, we need to get to the bottom of this because these poor Russians have taken a lot of heat.
You are doing a tremendous Alec Baldwin impression of Donald Trump. That is outstanding. That is worth a Marconi right there. What's been his narrative, Matt? Well, maybe it's China. We don't know who did anything. I mean, it's a convenient game of hide the ball, mm-hmm. right? Because it deflects attention from something else. At first, yesterday, when Speaker Pelosi came out and said very definitively, we're moving forward with this, and I intend to use the I word, impeachment, et cetera, et cetera. I thought to myself, because you and I think are of a mind, she hasn't exactly been the best leader here over the last however long.
Not on this one, no.
And so, and we had talked years ago that when you had Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi, maybe it's time to turn it over to another generation, and that was after they'd lost both chambers before. So my first thought was, okay, you're calling for an investigation before, or you're calling for an impeachment inquiry before you see the transcript. You're setting yourself up here. You might be walking into his trap, because if in fact the transcript doesn't pay off, then you look like you're piling on. So I really wondered why they didn't wait a day. Well, now comes the transcript, and we're really not thinking about that anymore, are we?
No, they knew something was up.
Well, and you know, I had somebody say to me yesterday, well, if he's rushing to release the transcript, there must not be anything in it. And my response was, he doesn't think there's anything in it.
Well, okay, let me stop right there, because that's a great point. When this was released, I think every major news person thought, okay, this is going to be some generically whitewashed, possibly edited, possibly release. And when it came on out, I was watching the networks, and they're all stunned that he's admitting this. And, you know, like that, I want you to do you a favor. I mean, they just kept going. They're like, well, yeah, this is kind of goes right in line with the Democrats, what they've been saying. And I think you just nailed it. I just don't think he sees his culpability in this stuff.
I've been thinking about this analogy, and I want to be very careful with it, because I think he's in a world all to himself. But I want to roll it to you anyway here for a second. One of the things that I think caught Bill Clinton was JFK was his idol, met him, you know, when he was part of Boys Nation. JFK's behavior, shall we say, was not up to contemporary standards. And to some degree, Clinton was sitting there, I think, and saying, well, wait a minute, Kennedy did so much worse. Why are you piling on me? Well, it was a different time. If you look back over time, I am sure there were phone calls, whether it is between a president and a member of Congress, you know, God knows the J. Edgar Hoover FBI. I mean, there are a lot of these things where the behavior, as we look at it now, we say, oh, my God, how did that ever happen? I don't think, though, that Trump is like Clinton, because he doesn't get the sense of history. See, what I was trying to do was to suggest, you know, this might have been done at an earlier time, and we just didn't know about it, and times have changed, and he doesn't understand how you do things these days, right? But I just don't think – I think he's just in an entirely different world where he is the center of his own universe. And so he's saying to a foreign nation, hey, you ought to investigate those guys. No different than if he would call his son-in-law in or one of his sons when he was running the business and say, go take care of this for me.
Well, and
he just doesn't understand the lines of decorum that are far different in business as opposed to government.
Well, and if I can say, When I saw this, I read this transcript, the first thing I said is, well, you got what you asked for. You wanted someone who wasn't a politician, who wasn't clean and polished. And this is exactly what, you know, this is, he stepped in it. And yeah. There are still rules that he has to follow, that he cannot treat everything like it's a negotiation with a garbage pickup company, that he's got to basically, you know, he can't use the federal government's aid and military aid and military sales to basically get personal attack information for his political campaign. And that's it. This is what they voted for. And it was just only a matter of time before. And frankly, as I was reading this, I said it was only a matter of time before he did something this stupid. And now he's going to eat it.
Yeah. And again, the couple of points on this, it reads, and I think that it's an excellent point. If you change the topic from military aid to something like a garbage pickup service or whatever, this is how he has conducted business. Now, you may say, well, he didn't do very well if you really look at it. Okay, that's all fine. But my point is, this is, quote, how you do business, or how he would think you would do business. So this is what he knows. It is far different, though, when you're talking about these sorts of things like how to run a government. A whole different ethical standard. Yes, there should be ethics in business, but we kind of presume that the leader of the free world is this president, you know, the president of the United States, leader of the free world, is held to a higher standard. And I really believe if he read that transcript, he probably said, this looks good for me, and sends it out. So I think there is a real disconnect. Now, you get the Ukraine president of Ukraine. I want to be really clear about my phrasing. And he's saying, well, I didn't feel pushed. Well, you're sitting there next to the guy at the United Nations. What else are you going to say? You're not going to say, you know what? I really think he was heavy-handed in this. Okay. Now, the fact that and if you think about it, even if he's not sitting next to Trump, if you would ask him, were you pushed, he's not going to admit being pushed because he looks weak to his own people. So he says, I don't want anything to do with your elections. You guys take care of that on your own. I didn't feel pushed. Everything's fine. It's nothing to see here. To which Trump then makes an aside of, I think if you sat down with Putin, the two of you could work out your differences. Ukraine and Russia, they'll just sit down and work out their differences. Okay? I mean, and there was a wonderful screen capture that then was on the Twitter machine. And it was the Ukraine president's face when Trump said, you guys could just work it out. And he's got to look like, who is this guy?
Like Greta. I mean,
man. I mean, it's – so here's the thing, though. I mean, what I have seen so far is – those who are on the left say that this is proof positive, and you're up now to, what, 200 Democrats in the House say there should be impeachment. You need 218. But yet you've got those on the right who say there's nothing here. The Ukraine president said that he wasn't pushed. You really – what I loved yesterday, though, before this came out, I want to make sure I mention this. The best the Republicans could do was say, well, I don't think he should have mentioned it. In the call, I wouldn't have mentioned it. But the important thing is we should investigate Joe Biden and his son and his brother. Okay, the best they could do was say, well, I wouldn't do it, but have you seen what Joe's done lately? I mean, it's a masterful attempt, not successful, at deflection. And, you know, kind of like, well, it doesn't matter how bad Trump is, because, you know, Joe's worse in this deal.
Well, okay.
And I just don't buy that.
Well, actually, if I can go back to the timeline of this. May 16th of this year, Bloomberg reported that the Ukrainian prosecutor general Lutsenko said he had seen no evidence of wrongdoing by U.S. Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden or his son. And if I can also add on to that, Senator Chris Murphy – revealed that the Ukrainian officials told him in early September that Zelensky's administration was concerned Trump was cutting off aid as a consequence for their unwillingness to, at that time, to investigate the Bidens. So there are you put those two things out there as well. And once again, that's not liberal Matt McNeil saying it. The Ukrainian general consulate says there's nothing there. And so they're trying – this is Benghazi, Benghazi, Benghazi again. They're trying to find – you know, even if there was something though – I mean, let put this aside. Even if there was something, it doesn't excuse Trump's behavior. And I don't know if this is really the strategy they want to go with because, well, if the best case scenario they can hope for is that Joe Biden's in trouble, now let's impeach Trump. And Biden's not going to get impeached because he's not in office right now. You know, he might – you know, if at worst case scenario. But Trump is – it does. This, anything that Biden does not validate Trump.
Oh, no question. No question. This is the kind of thing where in our system of jurisprudence, let's say there is a legal decision against you and you appeal it. You still have to follow that ruling at the lower court level until it's overturned on appeal. If you don't follow the lower court ruling and ultimately win on appeal, you may ultimately win, but you're still going to be held in contempt for not following the original order. Similar here. It doesn't matter how bad Biden is. If what Trump did to bring it to the attention of Ukraine officials was also wrong. But I'm interested in what you think of this. This is the conspiracy theory floating around that there are a lot of Democrats who are really pushing this. Well, yeah, it gets Trump, but it also gets Biden, and they're worried if Biden is the nominee. I'm thinking that's just a little too clever by half.
Well, I think they're looking way too into it. I would say I'd say this. I want to just ask you point blank. From what you have seen right now, the Rudy Giuliani being on television, that you've seen the transcript here. We haven't even heard the whistleblower yet. But what you have seen here is, in your mind, is this an impeachable offense?
Knowing nothing else, I think we're very close. Yeah, could very well be because of the fact that you have, and I'm going to just interpret it this way. You have a president of the United States saying, go talk to my private attorney about investigating an American citizen.
Yeah, that's trouble.
Okay, forget that Biden is a rival because we don't know if he will be. I mean, we don't know if he'll be the ultimate nominee. I think he's going to rise and fall on his own. But if you've got the president of this country saying, go talk to my private attorney, and then add another layer, go talk to my private attorney, and oh, yeah, we'll bring the attorney general in on it. The attorney general who today said, we haven't had this talk. I don't know anything about this.
Barr just got tossed under the bus there.
Well, did you see how Trump, I know I'm being a little frenetic here, but did you see how Trump threw Lighthizer under the bus?
Oh, God. Well, Lighthizer
says something about, you know, this, about this may come up, the USMCA come up, and Trump cuts him off and says, or it may not, you know, I know these people much better than you do. Really? The guy who's been groveling at the door of members of Congress, but Trump knows them better than Lighthizer. Holy cow.
Well, and he's flailing at this point. He's right now he's flailing because all of a sudden I think he's realized that he got done with Mueller, even though those 10 counts of obstruction are still out there dangling over his head and they're still investigating him. They just basically decided, okay, those will be leftovers for tomorrow. We got a fresh warm meal here for you ready to go. And you know, and he's realized he's in trouble. I'll tell you what, let's take a break. When we do come back, let's talk about the process for the Democrats here, because do they just go with this issue because it's got some teeth, or how much of the other things do they tie into this? Jeff Stein joining us, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
So, you're finally coming to grips that it's time to replace your carpet. Or maybe you want to update the look of your favorite room. Lucky for you, there's Z Floors by Zero Res. It's my trusted one-stop shop for all my flooring needs. So when nothing but new will do, check out the new Zero Res flooring experience at z-floors.com.
Also right now is the Zero Res end of summer sale where you can get 3 rooms of carpet clean starting at only $129. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit zeroresminnesota.com.
On Saturday, October 5th, the University of Minnesota Center for Spirituality and Healing is offering its new Mindful Eating Workshop. Register to explore what it's like to eat with awareness. Delve into what it really means to pay attention to what you are eating, how and why you're eating. Then identify the different kinds of hunger and learn to distinguish between hunger that can be satisfied with food and other feelings that are better satisfied in other ways. Register now at csh.umn.edu.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Jeff Stein joining us once again. You can find his books at Next Chapter Books, totallyiowa.com, iowawatch.org is the public service show, and KXEL is where he joins us, where he does the Iowa Politics Report. So, Jeff, where, you know, when you look at an impeachment, you have to bring up various charges, which you then send up to the Senate if it passes the House. Obviously, this Ukrainian deal, there's probably at least one or two charges that could be put into there. What else do they add? I mean, obviously the 10 counts of obstruction of justice could, you know, that Mueller found could easily be attached to this, possibly even the inappropriate communications between the Trump campaign and the Russians during 2016. Or do you just go with the one and say, you know what, this is pretty meaty on its own. And no matter what, the Republicans are likely not going to pass, you know, vote for him to be kicked out of office anyway.
What the Democrats have to do is do a lot of investigating publicly about a lot of things right now. That whips up a general sense of, look at all this smoke. Then, once they have done that, the articles of impeachment need to be absolutely rock solid and limited so it doesn't appear to be piling on. Make sure that they've just absolutely got it locked down in a way that's easily explainable to the American people, so that when it then goes to the Senate and the Senate rejects impeaching the president, the Democrats will have won in the court of public opinion and therefore at the ballot box in November of 2020, not just at the White House level, but at the congressional level.
Well,
because here's the narrative. The narrative is going to be, oh, they're just dredging up everything. Well, what you've got to do is you've got to look at it as a prosecutor. You investigate everything, and then you say, here are 5, 6, whatever, lead pipe cinches that we can easily explain. And that, I think, then is what marshals public opinion.
So, I mean, if I understand you correctly, I mean, there are probably about 4 of those obstruction of justice charges, which are pretty cut and dry and very provable. So it basically trim that list down, get the 4 really meaty ones that you can prove, get this Ukrainian deal, and that would probably be it then.
I think so, because you don't just want one thing, or you don't just want one collection of things. So if you can bring a few from the Mueller report, bring a few from this Ukraine thing, you know, in other words, you've got a few different things. So in essence, it's multiple charges that you can sort of say in the aggregate shows a pattern of bad behavior, but at the very least, individually, each could be enough to win on. Mm-hmm. So that if for whatever reason, either the House can't pass all of them, which I would find hard to believe, or if the public looks and says, okay, you're crazy about this one and this one, all right, you got a little bit on this, that's the pressure that would be put to bear on Republicans. And if there is a trial in the Senate, yes, I know what the numbers show, but it's a razor-thin majority for the Republicans. This is no slam dunk.
But don't they have to get 67?
Well, sure. But yeah. Again, how many Democrats do they have?
48.
All of them, uh-huh. Right? And how many Republicans are up for election in 2020 and don't want to be seen supporting a sinking ship?
Well,
so I still wouldn't expect it, but and it's going to be a tricky position. Let's say Matt McNeil is a Republican running for re-election to the U.S. Senate in 2020. He votes for impeachment, but his party doesn't. That's tricky, isn't it? I mean, it's a very fine line for these Republicans to walk. They either support the president and risk defeat, or they go out on their own and are still going to be sort of tarred by it.
Well, and let me ask you this, because I really think a hypothetical. If the economy does crash, because a lot of people are speculating the economy is not on as stable ground as it appears to be. So let's just add that one thing. If it does – the economy does falter. Mm-hmm. Do the Republicans say in April, before they have to do this vote in the Senate, walk to the White House and say, here's the deal, resign, give Pence a running head start on 2020, and we'll pardon you and we'll do everything in our power to cover this up?
He's not going to listen.
I don't think he would, but still, do you think – I mean, when it looks like – because, I mean, let's face it, if the economy goes south, especially in ag country – yeah. Where is the safe haven for him? I mean, there's no place in the country that's going to be a real safe place. And so forget about the suburbs. You're going to be out in, you know, in rural Iowa, rural Minnesota, trying to find Republican votes at that point.
Yeah, and this is where I'm not trying to be flip about it, but I just don't think, and we've talked about this before, I mean, a delegation went and said to Nixon, we don't have the votes anymore. And he, having been a creature of the House and the Senate, understood the situation and bailed. Trump is going to say, I dare you. You know, I mean, I just don't see that he has the self-reflection or analytical nature to believe anything other than what he has convinced himself to be true. And that's why I don't think you're going to have this very nice little transition. You know, in essence, it's going to take Pence resigning as vice president and running. But that's not going to work. Look at all these Republican state parties who have canceled primaries and caucuses because, heaven forbid, there might be three candidates who between them get 6% of the vote. What is that about?
Well,
is just frightening to me.
And 10% like Sanford might get 10% in South Carolina, and then all of a sudden they got a real quagmire on that side. And especially, once again, if that economy starts to falter, then, yeah, it's going to this is not playing out well for the Republicans. But we got to stop there because, my God, sure. we could talk for hours. Once again, find his books, Next Chapter Books in St. Paul, also totallyiowa.com. Iowa Watch is a public service show, and I will get the Iowa Politics Report posted as well. We'll spotlight this too. Jeff Stein, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it.
As always, Matthew, have a great day.
Take care. We'll talk to you next week. My God, what will we be talking about next week? Until tomorrow, see ya.